Belcha. Welcome to the Village Oak Tree. I'm your host, Terrence O'Donnell. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to make this as short as possible this week because I have a lot of pressing things going on these days. I was contacted today by an IT staffing company that I occasionally do gig work for to work a couple of days next week, one of which will be Wednesday. So this will be my last post for a couple of weeks until I have some free time to sit down and write something again. In the meantime, I'm still working on my website to make it more presentable and adding my photography efforts through the years. I'm about halfway there to date, and I'll let everyone know when I've uploaded all the changes. Then there's the added time constraint of completing my final photography project for this community college class I've been taking this fall. So gather around, sit you down somewhere comfortable for a bit. Let's talk about a couple of things I found in the news. I'm going to be all over the place this week because I've noticed that the world is ramping up exponentially. I've talked about this before, and I found some more articles that are talking about the current fad of media censorship in the Western world, especially here in the U.S. By now, a lot of you may have heard that YouTube is deleting and dropping accounts of Palestinians who are using the platform to document Israeli war crimes. Of course, it's not just YouTube and their parent company ABC, but nearly all of the Western social and legacy media platforms that have been doing this since October 7th, 2023. YouTube is just the latest to make the news. It's for just this reason that I decided to make some changes to my media uploads going forward. I will be cutting my YouTube channel loose soon. I stopped uploading any videos to it at Samhain. All of my videos will now be posted on my website in the blog from now on, once I start writing there once again. What I will be doing is uploading just the audio portions of my podcast from now on to Substack for the handicapped who may have trouble reading. My Canadian friend Sam gave me the idea, and I'm going to run with it to see how it goes. I have had an audio podcast platform for 3 years now, so why not incorporate it everywhere? It's not just media, but the movie studios are also getting in on the censorship gig. Paramount, now that they're owned by the Ellisons, are blacklisting Hollywood stars who dare to go public with their criticisms of Israel and the genocide. This is shades of McCarthyism all over again. We can expect more of this as time moves on. These are the reasons I'm moving my media platforms overseas to a degree and dropping American platforms to avoid censorship. This is only going to get worse. In other news, we've been watching and experiencing the results of the U.S. government shutdown and the fight over who will take care of the poorest among us. I watched the Lawrence O'Donnell late night segment of MSNBC News this morning, where he told viewers that this fight over ACA health benefits would only affect 6% of Americans. He asked, why is there such a big fuss over 6% of 340 million people? For the Democrats, it was their line in the sand for the moment. We could agree or disagree whether that was a good line to draw or not when people are going very hungry right now. But ultimately, that is the real issue that a lot of legacy media and wealthy politicians are not paying a lot of attention to. Acute food insecurity in the so-called wealthiest country in the world. Some are, but their words are largely getting lost in wind coming from the White House. Starving citizens is making the news in the rest of the world, though. Everyone knows about the genocide and deliberate starving to extinction of the Palestinians in Gaza. Most of us have heard about the masses of starving people in Sudan and the surrounding areas of Central Africa. We cry about it in our blog posts and podcasts. Some of us are sending donations that are getting lost in a shuffle of corruption and logistics between North America and the rest of the world. The bottom line is that no matter how much we cry and send over our $5, $10 donations, only a small percentage actually makes it to the people who need it the most. Meanwhile, the big donors are cutting off food aid by the millions of dollars in order to hoard the treasure for themselves. As I replied to my Canadian friend in her post this morning, this is starting to become the norm as the once richest countries in Europe and North America retreat from the world's humanitarian stage in order to take care of themselves. In this case, spend that money on military equipment and troop augmentations. As I've said, along with others, what we're seeing in Ukraine, Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, and the African continent is only just the beginnings as the middle band of the planet becomes more and more uninhabitable due to the global warming. The arid regions are expanding rapidly for a planet that measures time in millions of years anyway. And as they do, more humans will go to war with one another over food and resources as they dwindle. On the other front, where the wealthiest people live, news has broken out that the tech billionaires are working hard to create DNA-edited human babies grown in labs rather than normal genetic selection. They want to edit DNA and genes to eliminate genetic diseases and physical deformities for future children. Think about that for a minute. We used to think that was only in some science fiction novel of the far future or an episode of Star Trek or something. We all know where this is going if people like Larry Ellison, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jeff Bezos have a say in this, not to mention our favorite crackpot trillionaire, Elon Musk. You know he's all over this. You can just imagine a new world of Caucasian, genetically modified children born in a lab and educated by scientists and ideological pseudo-parents like those morbidly wealthy tech giants I just mentioned. That would be Hitler's wet dream if he were still alive. Maybe that's where they got the idea. To put a damper on those science fiction, not so science fiction dreams of a super race, I found a story in Inside Climate News that may bring global warming closer to home for those of us who always thought we were protected from the rest of the world by two oceans and a small southern border. In this story, scientists out in the western U.S. are finding tropical mosquitoes in places that used to be considered too cold for them. You know, those pesky mosquitoes who bring us tropical diseases and such. These are the insects that could well bring us the next pandemic, and they're now being found annually in the Rocky Mountain areas that had never seen them before due to the cold climates. According to the article, not only is the climate warming up, they're adapting by finding places to hibernate in the now slightly warmer winters. This on top of scientists in Iceland seeing any mosquitoes, period, for the first time last summer. The planet is changing and not for the good. Glaciers are melting like crazy, causing droughts in places like Nepal, Afghanistan, Iran, India, Pakistan, and others who have depended on snow melt from the glaciers and high mountain snows for centuries. Australia and Antarctica are experiencing droughts and massive snow melts. So many other countries are going through mega droughts, and the mainstream news gives the world a passing reference with fluff articles that last a day or so on the front lines and disappear once again. In the Americas, we're also experiencing mega droughts and the increasingly more arid regions that are encroaching severely on the availability of viable farmland. I probably won't live long enough to see the huge ravages these droughts are going to cause. But those of you around the world who will still be alive in the 2050s, stand by. Your world, as you know it now, will be changing for the worse over the next 25 years and beyond. I hope you're ready for what's coming. So that's my rant for the week. As I mentioned, I won't be here next week because I'll be working in the field. Listen to my ad, and I'll be back to read the next chapter of The Priest by Michael Campy. I want to take a minute to explain how you can support what I'm doing. Either through a direct donation, a Substack subscription, or purchasing my book, any of which can be done through my website shown at the bottom of this screen or with the QR code shown on the screen here. First, let me say, I don't initially paywall my work, but I do accept donations of any amount in any currency using the donations page on my website. Or you can sign up for a paid subscription to my Substack page if you can afford to do so. There's a link to my Substack page, Krana Beha, the Tree of Life, on my website in the Village Oak Tree podcast page. My $30 a year or $5 a month Substack subscription rates are as low as they will allow, if that helps. If nothing else, like, follow, restack, or sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone you wish. Add my voice to the many in the independent media who dare to stand up to the tyrants before they come after us. If you're not watching this on Substack, there's a link to my website on the Village Oak Tree YouTube channel page as well. Now let me finish up by showing you the book I wrote in 2023. It's a story of rebellion and romance set in a fictional theocratic United States not too far in the future. If this story sounds interesting, Go to any major book retailer around the world to order it in any format you like, or purchase a hardcover or paperback version directly from me on my website and read it for yourself. Sláinte. Welcome back. So let me bring up Michael Campy's story here, and I will read you this latest chapter. As always, I'll go to full screen, and I will roll over here to read it for you. The Priest, formerly known as Bob, Part 51 by Michael Campy. The priest realizes that objects in the past are larger than they appear. I used to love the smell of the morning, just to actually describe it other than to say it smelled green. I was raised in a small agricultural town, and all the way up to the time of the collapse, that smell reminded me of my childhood. Just as I was floating in the weird space between awake and being asleep, I smelled the smell and for a moment couldn't tell if it was real or if I was dreaming. I woke up. All the tree smells and flower smells are pretty much gone. Dreams are even more disappointing than they had been. In the before times, there was always a hint of potential and possibility in dreams, and now it's just like your subconscious mind-fucking you for no reason. I mean, what could my subconscious mind hope to gain by showing me these pictures, knowing that they are forever out of reach? I wish I could beat it up or yell at it or send it a nasty email or leave a profanity-ridden voicemail just like the last stages of the old world. It would never get the message, or if it did, it wouldn't respond. I guess I should just wake up and smell a coffee, but that's something we haven't had for a while. Pre-collapse, there wasn't much of a reason to get out of bed in the morning, especially if you were unemployed. People thought that if you stayed in bed that you were depressed and would worry your friends, but that wasn't always the case sometimes. Actually, most of the time, it just felt really good to lay in bed, and it made the rest of the day a lot better. One of the things that happened was that it extended the sleep-awake period, and you could think of some really cool but non-existent things like girlfriends and high-paying job. I came awake a lot quicker now, which was a mistake, but unavoidable because in the apocalypse, you didn't want to get caught sleeping unless you were well hidden or with a group. So, right, I'm awake. So what now? Oh, yeah, another day of pushing those fucking carts and trying to put some distance between us and the people who were following us. And since we couldn't see them, we had no idea if we were putting distance between them or not, or us or not. Have I mentioned how boring the apocalypse is? Other than staying alive and grubbing around for food and water, there isn't fuck all to do. I remember all the prepper people and off-the-grid people and how much time they spent building shit and fixing shit and planning shit and gathering shit. And even before, it seemed like a hell of a lot of work with the only return on your investment being you stayed alive for one more winter. Off-the-grid seemed like a scam. Like most other things in the past, it was just designed to hook you into a lifetime of tedious labor for minimal reward. Sure, if you lived out in the woods, you would occasionally get a chance to sit on your porch and look at a pretty place. But for the most part, you were too tired to enjoy it anyway. Ever since we left Flagstaff, after sheltering in the abandoned Denny's, I've been haunted by thoughts of Grand Slam breakfast and Superbird sandwiches. I love the Superbird, and thinking about it always brought on memories of everything that went along with the Superbird. There was a Denny's that used to be on Los Osos Valley Road, off the 101, just south of San Luis Obispo. It was kind of by itself, alongside a gas station, and open 24 hours. It was a pretty spot, especially in the middle of the night. The parking lot was bordered by a creek and woods. It was a great place to chill on the way from L.A. to San Francisco. There were never any people there, and for a long time, I didn't know where the people who worked there lived. I was a bit thick. I fell in love with a waitress who worked graveyard and began making a lot of trips up there that were otherwise unnecessary. It was one of a long line of unrequited love affairs that I had with graveyard waitresses all over the country. I felt something nudge my back and turned over quickly and saw Poor. She was poking me with her boot. "Are you dead?" she asked. "What the fuck? You ask me that every day. Why do you do that?" "Because if you're dead, I want to be the first to know so I can get dibs on your shit." "That's messed up." "Did you somehow get the impression that I was not messed up?" I didn't think. I never got a chance to finish because she was already walking away. "Okay, up. Prepare for another day of walking." We have about 100 miles to go before we get to the coast. On the way, we have to avoid being killed or worse. I'm not sure what would be worse, maybe if we were tortured or something, but there wouldn't be any reason to torture us because we don't have any secret information to divulge unless the chasers are really mean and want to torture us for fun, which would be fucked up, but it's always a possibility. I started to sing. 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me. You know I can't go, because I owe my soul to the company store. Dolly hit me in the back of the head. You can't sing, so shut the fuck up. And that's all I've got for you. Let me pull this down here. Gorma Hoggett, thank you for watching or listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it, and you'll return again to listen to me offer a voice to what a lot of people are thinking these days. As I say goodbye this week, I wish you all a healthy and prosperous year ahead. Schlongo Foyle.